The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready?
Hey, think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
It's on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron M. Raybould. That is even hard to say with the M in there. Jeez. You could also text the show, 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Pretty much all that little game that happened yesterday. In fact, that's all it was. We'll mix it up a little bit later. But right now, yeah, that's the talk. A32 asks, how great was Romo? Yeah, he's the best. I think he's
amazing.
He has become the best. And somebody asked, did you see the Avengers trailer? Yeah, it didn't really show me anything. I didn't really get anything out of it other than that, okay, maybe Iron Man's not going to die in space from the first trailer, which I don't think any of us thought he was anyway.
Nope.
But, 713-780-ESPN. So you were talking about the Twitter beef here with RJ. And so first off, Darren Revelle, well, RJ also kind of tweeted out the anthem thing. Apparently, some guy who had been doing rehearsals knew the anthem had been coming in around 159 and 201, and the over-under was 150, and he tweeted that out before the anthem.
Yeah.
So, is that...
He's a man of the people.
Yeah, he is. He is a man of the people. And so, did Revelle know that and not tweet it out? Is that what happened?
That's what he said.
Because I can't really figure out, because Revelle got blocked and...
He basically said he's been going to rehearsals, and he knew how long it was going to take, but he didn't pass the information on.
Oh, that's bogus. That's bogus.
And he said, well, it's not my responsibility to do that. I don't want to burn, you know, any of my sources just so I can make a couple bucks for my buddies, basically what he said.
I'm kind of on the opposite of that. I'm about making money for our buddies.
Yeah.
If we can. And what sources? So you were at... You were there, or the guy told you?
No, he was there watching. He was like they let him in on some of the, I guess, the rehearsals.
Well, if they did say you can come in, but you can't write anything about how long it is, that's, I understand that. Yeah. But still, I'm telling the people, if you're gonna let me in there, it's, hey. And then he got into it with Matt Peralta. I don't know what the hell Matt was doing involved in this. What was his response? I'm having a hard time following all these.
So basically, Matt, I think he was, I don't know for sure, but I think he was kind of defending RJ at first, but RJ didn't take it that way. He said, where did it go? Well, damn, now I've lost it.
Yeah, but, it's kind of hard for me to follow all this.
He says, are we really going to have to watch a sports gambling integrity debate of Darren Revell versus RJ in Vegas? Yikes. And then RJ tweeted back and said, we could have waited for you to have it on your show, but I'm not sure the 13 listeners would have made much of an impact. And then Matt comes back, hey, nice job, RJ. I wasn't even going to say which side I was on, but... And then he posts the Deadspin story that was kind of the hit piece on RJ.
Yeah, that was totally bogus, I might add.
Oh, yeah. Mike's right. It was Maroon 5's first song, not Anthem Link, okay. That he was in on. Hmm.
But, yeah, he pretty much slammed him there.
Yeah.
I know Matt's part of Team Gal, but...
he's dead.
I got to tell you, in that battle... I'm Team RJ. So we work a lot with RJ. So yeah.
Speaking of which, you mind if I promote the podcast?
Please do. I was going to actually ask you to do that.
Yeah, if you haven't heard it yet or you're not subscribed, this is a good time to do it. I did the first of what's going to be basically a bi-weekly podcast. Starting now, it'll run through college basketball season. Just on, it's basically an extension of the Dream Podcast that RJ does for the NFL and college football. Brad Powers and I did the first of our college basketball Dream Podcasts. So it's on all wherever you get your podcasts from. Subscribe, listen to it. You know, give me feedback if you want. It's I thought that it went well. I enjoy working with Brad, smart dude. If you want, to know what my picks and leans are for the week, that's a good place to go to get it. I won't be posting picks on Twitter anymore.
Cool. So, yeah, that's I haven't had a chance to listen yet, but I do get to hear you and Brad every week on the show, and I know it's.
I read your book. You can't listen to my podcast?
I'm going to listen to your podcast. All right.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But I do get to hear you guys every week. You know that, right? Because I kind of just get out of the way and let you guys play. College football I take part in, but college basketball, that's your thing. And he's really good at it, too. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic success because you guys are good at that. Well, I also let people know that Saturday, 3 o'clock, at around the corner on 1510 Hutchins, we're having the official book release party and first signing. So please come by. I'll have some for sale, but if you already read it and already bought it, we'll do a little Q&A session for the people who've already read the book, and plus a little sneak peek at the sequel. So you'll get to learn what the sequel is going to be about. But you can buy the book there too. We'll have them for sale. Basically... credit card, debit card, cash, whatever. We're covered. JF 288 mentioned something that I wanted to get to because he said the Rams really seemed to miss Cooper Kupp last night. Could have used him out of the slot.
I mean, they missed him for a good chunk of the season.
And I think when you look at the last, since he got hurt, it impacted them. I think that was a big loss. And for everybody saying, oh, well, then the Saints would have scored more than 3 points. You know, Saints offense wasn't very good for the last month of the season either. Let's not get carried away there. So but that's part of it. But yeah, I think that was a big, they missed him a lot. By the way, we are not live at Twin Peaks.
No.
Did you do that?
Yeah, that lit off the show.
Yeah,
at the very top of the show.
Okay. We are in studio.
I have remedied that since.
But you can watch us on live stream brought to you by
Twin Peaks.
Twin Peaks.
Ta-da.
We will be we'll be out at Gulf Greyhound Park on Thursday and then Sam Houston Race Park on Friday. So if you want to
stay busy.
Yeah. So depending on what side of town you're on, we got you covered both days. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. A lot of people asking about Adnan Virk getting fired. I have no idea who that is.
Adnan Virk is a guy who works for ESPN. He fills in a lot on ESPN Radio. Well, he used to fill in a lot on ESPN Radio. He's the guy who's like the movie nerd. So every time, like, he used to fill in on Mike and Mike and talk about movies with whichever one of them was there. He worked on Baseball Tonight, I think, this last season. But either way, apparently he was telling some insider stuff that he wasn't supposed to be telling to some news outlet or media outlet.
Yeah, I think it was awful announcing is what it was.
Okay. And they kicked his ass to the curb. And that's a guy who just got, like, he just got one of those big contracts that make you go, really? They're paying this guy this month? This is the guy they're putting all their eggs in that basket? So if you're a big Adnan Virk fan, if this is anything like what history tells us, Adnan Virk will be working at Fox any day now. So don't worry. They're going to overpay for him, too.
Although, from what I understand, Fox is backing off on paying a bunch of money to.
Oh, really? You think they made some mistakes?
Yeah.
Well, who would have thought?
I guess they found out that they're negotiating. He leaked stuff that they were negotiating in private with MLB, which, frankly, who cares? I mean, but Ryan asking, when is the book signed? It's Saturday from 3 to 6 p.m. So drop by. We'll have beer specials from Carbach. We'll have all kinds of great stuff. DJ, it's going to be a hell of a party. So please drop by. It'll be fun.
All right. We got to go to break.
We do?
Yeah, I don't have the copy for this. So, yeah. Okay. We're not doing a live read here I don't have that copy.
But you know what? You'll get that copy, and I bet we come back with it.
Yeah, probably so.
All right, we're going to take a quick break then. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Lock and load, boys.
On ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, let me tell you about the brand new technology that's going to drive your wife or girlfriend or loved one wild for Valentine's Day. It's called Microvelvet, created by the pajama experts over at Pajamagram. It's found only in the Tempting Touch PJs. That's the only place you can find this delightful feel. It's the softest, most luxurious pajamas ever imagined. They are so soft, they are begging to be touched. And if it feels good to you, you know it's going to feel good to her. Relaxing to wear, irresistible to touch. When she's happy, you're going to be happy. A Valentine gift's never felt this tempting. And if you're not into that, that's cool. They got pajamas for whatever you're looking for. You want something sexy, they got that. You want something comfy, they got that. Plus, you don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging. Delivery by Valentine's Day is guaranteed. Visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs today. Tell them AJ Hoffman from ESPN 97.5 sent you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Care to guess who your early favorite for the Super Bowl is next year?
The Chieftains.
It is the Chiefs, and
they're pretty good at sports.
Yeah, and I think they will be. It'll be real interesting to see how they do next year. Although you brought up a pretty good point. Is Pat Mahomes going to have that kind of season again?
I don't think so.
That's a lot to ask. But the Chiefs are 6-1, followed by the Rams and Saints at 8-1, and the Patriots 8-1. So, boy, that's how often do you see Patriots 8-1?
Especially coming off the Super Bowl win.
The next group, no real surprise. Chargers, 14.
No.
Bears, about right. 14.
About right.
Steelers, 14.
Ooh. I'll pass on that.
Yeah. Here's where I start getting interested. Vikings, 16-1.
It's not bad.
I could see them bouncing back. Packers 16-1, no thanks.
No.
Cowboys 16-1, no thanks. Eagles 20-1.
No thanks.
Yeah, I don't know. I could. They weren't healthy all year. I could see them bouncing back. Ravens 20-1.
I'm going to go no. I mean, I expect Joe Flacco to be gone, and
yeah,
I don't think the Lamar Jackson thing is going to work for a full season.
Colts 20-1.
I think there's value there.
Yeah, I think Eagles and Colts at 20 and Vikings at 16 are the ones that I like. Browns 20-1.
No.
Yeah.
What, are you crazy?
Texans 20-1.
I think that's decent value.
Yeah, if they can, if you can get them at 20 now and they can fix that offensive line, maybe. And the other one, Seahawks 30-1.
I mean, that's not bad value either.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you some.
It's a team that's always competitive.
Let me give you some other ones that are big prices that I think are worth at least considering. Two teams that had bad years, but Falcons and Jaguars at 40-1. Jaguars get a quarterback. Falcons should be better next year.
Yeah, Falcons just had. I mean, you talk about a team that just had a bad season.
Yeah,
I mean. Yeah, I don't think those are bad. I think the Jags, I don't know. I think the Jags have serious problems. Like, they've got cancer in the locker room problems, and unfortunately, it's like they're good players.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's going to turn back around for Jacksonville. I think maybe they had a one-year window, and that was it.
Broncos, 60-1.
No.
Buccaneers, 80-1.
Nope.
I'm interested in Bruce Arians, what he does there. Other than that, I mean, everybody else that's big numbers deserves to be big numbers. They have the Dolphins are the longest shot at 300-1.
All right. What are the lowly Buffalo Bills?
Your lowly Buffalo Bills are 100-1.
Not enough.
Part of the last group of Redskins, Lions, Bills, Bengals, Raiders, Cardinals.
Okay. Yeah, Cardinals or Dolphins are longer than the Cardinals, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, they basically said they're going to tank. So. All right, let's
not always easy to tank when you've got the Bills and the Jets in your division.
Well, that's the thing.
You do your best.
Squeeze in a phone call. Ryan, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys, sports.
Sports to you, man.
So, question. We're about halfway through the conference season. I'm seeing some pretty consistent, you know, showings and where U of H is probably going to end up being a 3 seed. And Tulsa keeps being the place that they're likely to go. I'm seeing Tulsa and Salt Lake. Do you all think that they kind of, that assuming that what happens throughout the year happens, which is, you know, they'll probably drop one random. I'm assuming that they win at home against Cincy, maybe drop on this Thursday or next week against UConn.
They better not lose then, to UConn. UConn sucks.
I'm just thinking road wins. Well,
Yeah, I think the biggest chances for them to lose are this game against UCF and then the last game against Cincinnati.
I agree. And so, but are you kind of seeing where they're probably going to hit that 3 seed if what we predict to be happening happens and whatnot? Or do you see them falling out of that line anywhere?
If they're 28-3. It's going to be I think they should be a 3 seed. I don't know that they will be. We talked about this a little bit last week. Historically, it's tough to get there. And Wichita did it. The year Wichita went undefeated, they were a 1 seed. But I think other than that, I think they were about 28-3 before that, and they were a 4 seed. So I think anywhere between 3 and 5 is reasonable for the Cougs, I think. If they end up going at the pace that they're going, and that's even assuming that they lose two more games. Now, if they're 30-1 at the end of the season,
they're probably a 2 seed at that point.
And then they run through the AAC conference tournament.
Right.
Then we're talking about that's a different outcome. But I do think that's another important thing to factor in is if they have a great regular season and then they don't win the conference title, they're probably not going to be a 3 seed. Because the committee will punish them for not winning that conference title. And I'm not saying they're going to make them like a 6 seed.
No, but I think they'd be
more likely to be a 4 or a 5 if they don't win their conference title.
But so much of it depends on what other teams do, though.
I mean,
they could not win the conference title, and the other teams that are in the mix for a 3 seed could suck in their conference games too, or conference tournaments too. So,
but we can. I mean,
I think between 3 and 5 is where they're going to land.
I do
realistically,
too.
And if they were to run the table the whole way, then we're talking a different animal. But I don't see them. I think they're going to lose a game here at some point again because
this game against Central Florida is going to be tough. This is a home run spot for Central Florida. This is, you know, they need this win right here. So they were the team that was projected, you know, coming into this thing to be the team to beat. So I think they're not playing as well as they'd like to be, but they are clearly a much better team at home. They got blown out by Memphis on the road, blown out by Wichita on the road. So I expect them to put up their best performance against UH. Not to say that UH can't win that game. They easily could. But this is definitely one of the last two or three real tough spots for UH.
I'm a little more worried about Cincinnati, even though that's at home.
Cincinnati's a better team than Central Florida. Yeah. They actually have home and home still with Cincinnati.
Yeah. So that I'm more concerned about. I think they go in there and beat. I'm not as impressed with Central Florida. I don't know what all the preseason love was about. They're good, but they're not special. So 713-780-ESPN. More likely to happen, Chiefs playing Super Bowl next season or Gronk retires? Gronk retires.
Mm.
I just think he's ready to walk away from this.
I think he would be smart too. I mean, he could still get paid. He's still got a pretty good thing going. It's just a matter of how do you want your body to be treating you as an old man. And that dude plays hard.
Yeah.
That's not a half-asser.
No, and yeah, and it's another guy who's taken a beating over the years because he challenges defensive backs, he challenges linebackers when he has the ball, and that's a lot to put on you. And I think he's at that point where he might just say, "I've had enough." We will when Lance gets here. I want to talk about your new offensive coordinator.
Okay.
I want to get Lance's opinion of the guy, but if you missed it, Tim Kelly. The Texans being promoted to become the offensive coordinator. No word on whether O'Brien's going to still call plays.
Yeah, of course he is.
Yeah, but he was the tight ends coach and offensive quality control coach for 3 seasons before that. He was a graduate assistant with O'Brien during his Penn State tenure. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss. Let's just keep bringing these guys, the George Godseys, the Sean Ryan.
It's a buddy club.
It is.
Whoever my buddy is, that's who I want there.
And that... I mean, to me, that's just poor decision-making as a manager. So, Cody's story that he wrote, he says he loves this move.
Why? What's he love about it? Yeah, I mean, just the fact that they did something?
He says, the people who know you the best are the people closest to you, and Kelly has been with O'Brien for years. The people who are the most honest with you are the people close. Bull bleep.
Bull, not in coaching.
Not in coaching at all, no.
You grab onto a coattail and go for a ride is what you do in coaching.
I'm not crazy about this, but maybe Lance will convince me when he comes in here that it's a good move.
You know what I am crazy about? Carbach. Rodeo Clown Roundup coming up Sunday, February 17th out at the brewery. The lineup has been announced. Casey Donahue, Bruce Robinson, Nikki Lane, the old 97s, Flat Cavalry, Texas Flood, Jonathan Tyler, and the Northern Lights. Going to be a great time. Gates open at 1:30. Great beer, great music. Grab your tickets today, carbachbrewing.com/RCRU. And before the show, go for a run. The Rodeo Clown Roundup 5K, 10K. Dress in your best Western gear or rodeo clown outfit. Participants got to be 21 years of age. You'll receive a participation bandana, a commemorative koozie with 2 tokens for beer at the finish. And you'll get $10 discounted off of your concert ticket if you participate in the run. CarbachBrewing.com/run if you want to look into that. And while you're out there, go to that restaurant, the brewery, all in one. The food is so fantastic. The culinary team has just put together a dynamic menu. A ton of great things on there. The poutine, Korean fried chicken, fish and chips, smoked corn pasta. They do a lot of things really well there. A really diverse menu. You're going to find something you want to eat there. Open daily 11 to 9 for lunch and dinner. Serving brunch on Saturdays and Sundays from 11 to 2. Follow Carbach on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Pick up your favorite Carbach beer today or ask your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
To the left, to the right, 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 to the for that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. A little quicker on the trigger there. Joining us now, host of The Bench, 7 to 9 every morning. You know him as the genius that is Lance Erline. And
does anybody call him that?
Yeah.
I try to get my kids to.
Except for...
Does your wife call you that ever? See, if you were a genius, he'd be on the good mic over there.
The mic that actually works.
Is this a good one?
That one's way better. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
That and...
Not a genius. That's kind of the point. Yeah. Not really that much of a genius. Well, no, the wife does not call me genius. Other names, but not that.
Granato call you genius?
He should, but he hasn't picked it up yet. I'm going to make sure. I'll put that in.
He doesn't appreciate you carrying him all these years?
I guess not. I mean, I'll plant that seed tomorrow.
Okay.
Well,
I'll see if Del will pour water on it.
I can tell the Twitter people don't think you're a genius whenever you do a mock draft.
I don't think, but they're stupid. They'll figure it out soon enough.
So, hey, we were talking about this before you came on. I wanted to get your opinion on this.
Do you read any of the mock draft people? The Z Report, when you had me come on and write the Chronicle stuff, I had to, we self-publish comments. And so if there was somebody who was really, really nasty about stuff, which it was, there was no Twitter.
Right.
So it wasn't as nasty. We weren't as nasty as a people. We really weren't. I think social media has made us a lot nastier.
I'll tell you where it started. Forums.
Yeah.
That's
it's been nasty.
Yeah, that's where it really got nasty. Now with Twitter, it's bad. But I enjoy your mock drafts, and I think I like that yours are different. So, but I wanted to ask you because I'm not really crazy about Bill O'Brien continuing to promote his friends into important roles. At what point does somebody say, dude, go out and get a different voice, man?
Who are you talking about this time?
Tim Kelly is now going to be offensive coordinator.
Oh, I've just been working all day. Okay. Well, I knew there would be a new coordinator. I didn't know if it would be new. I figured it'd be a new play caller. Did he say anything today?
No.
I'm guessing it won't be a new play caller.
See, I think it is. I don't think he's calling the plays this year. I think that he's taken the macro. He's talked about it before when he handed it over to Godsey. He wants to. I don't think he trusted anybody on the staff. I think he wants to be able to manage a game with input into the offense. I don't think he wants to have to call the plays. And frankly, I don't think he should be. I mean, you can help implement game plan. You can help implement strategy without having to be and you can also override calls. You don't have to call the whole game. That takes your mind and strategy. How many times have we seen him miss game management stuff he's not a head coach right now. He's a play caller. I think it's really hard to be a play caller and a head coach. It's even more hard to be a head coach and a personnel guy together. You can't serve all masters. You got to figure out what you are. And for Bill O'Brien, it's time that he let it go. I think. I know you guys are big Bill O'Brien truthers.
But oh yes.
Well, this guy was his tight ends coach. He was an offensive quality control coach at Penn State. And I heard Barry and Joel talking about this. It's like, if this guy were like some young superstar, wouldn't we have heard of him before? Wouldn't we be talking about how, this guy's got a future.
Where's he come from?
He's the tight ends coach.
Here?
Yeah.
Well, they've had some turnover at the coaching staff, so I'll have to see. I'm sure if I look at him, I'll know who it is. You know, I don't know the coaches here like we used to know them under Kubiak. First of all, those coaches were, number one, they're more veteran coaches with it. That's back when you used to see the NFL, you know, just recycle coaches.
Right.
So I'd heard of a bunch of those coaches. These are kind of newer. A lot of these names are newer names to me. So we'll see how he does. I mean, he's got some toys to play with if people stay healthy, but that's a big if. I think there's a decent chance Le'Veon Bell, if he gets moved, I think the Texans could be one of the teams that are in the mix.
Yeah, see, I saw that ESPN article, and I'm kind of really like, I don't see that happening. But you
the
really
organization's just never done it. They've never spent big money, long-term money on a running back.
I don't know.
And last time they did, they got burned when they paid Arian.
With Arian Foster, yeah.
Well, Amon Green was a bad one, too. Forget him.
Yeah, Amon was, what, $5 or $6 million? And at the time, it was a decent payday, but I think it was just they were one and done. Arian Foster, the market for running back had just gone down a little bit when Arian Foster signed after the Chris Johnson, Adrian Peterson signings. So they got him at a quote-unquote reasonable rate, but I still think it was around $10 million a year, somewhere in that neighborhood. And now we're talking about a lot of money for Le'Veon Bell, and it is a gamble because he has some tread off the tires. But he catches a ball. He is a hog around the goal line. He can hit you with a bunch of carries if you need it. To me, it's kind of like a Verlander move where you know there is some risk based on the age and in this particular instance, the position, the running back. But you also know he's performed at an exceedingly high level in the past. And if you give him a 4-year deal and you get 3 years, and in this case you might have to give him a 5-year deal, but whatever, and get – you know, I would say a 4-year deal, and you get 3 years out of them. You've done well. And this isn't
the problem. Is if you throw money at a guy like that, I mean, are you still going to be in? Like, can you still be in on a Trent Brown, for instance?
Yeah.
Like, can you still money whip somebody on the offensive line? Because that's got to be the priority.
Well, I think that's the real question here. Is if you were to get in on, first of all, it starts with trade value. What are you willing to trade? There's no way they give up a first. I do think they'd be willing to consider giving up a second.
Can the Steelers trade him? I mean, they could franchise him again.
And then if they do wouldn't want him.
Oh, actually, you know what?
Now he's going to wind up being unrestricted.
Yeah, he's going to be unrestricted because of the reassessment of that rule, I guess, at least in the public setting. You're right.
But
they can't franchise him again.
To answer AJ's question, though, they do have enough
money.
Money to do that and make at least two other moves. They also have room to get rid of some guys to clear more space if they need to, Kevin Johnson. And
Kevin Johnson will not. I don't think he'll be here.
No, he won't.
Aaron Colvin, I think, will be here just because of the contract he signed. Kareem Jackson is a free agent. They could let him walk. They could let, if they wanted to, they could just say, look, we're going to go Justin Reed and Andre Howe at safety, and then we'll figure it out from there. Andre Howe is a pretty good, he's pretty good in terms of ball production and making plays. Not good enough.
I mean, if you let Tyrann Mathieu go away, you let Kareem Jackson go away, then suddenly you've got more questions than you had in the secondary. And that's, I mean, the problem is you've already got a bunch of questions in the secondary. You're making more.
I don't think both Mathieu and Kareem stay. And I
think it's a lock that not both of them stay.
Yeah, I think only one of them. I think they will choose one of them ultimately. But J.Jo, is he a free agent? Because if not, he'll be a cap casualty.
Yeah, he's a free agent.
Yeah.
No, you know what? He's under contract.
Yeah, I think
I think they'll let him go, and that's where some of that money.
So basically, they'd be cutting Joseph, Kevin Johnson, and letting either Kareem or Honey Badger walk.
Yeah, I don't think Deontay Foreman is not a lock to make this team. I don't think they're real happy with him. There could be some big turnover, but like you say, I mean, how much money do you have to? If you let you could let Foreman walk if you were to make a run at Bell.
Obviously,
you could really, frankly, almost you could say we'll let Lamar Miller walk.
Would you? I mean, it would make more financial sense to keep Foreman because
and let Miller walk.
Yeah, he's still on his rookie deal. At least want to ride that
financially.
Out.
Yeah, and you can always draft a running back or even bring one in undrafted free and get rid of him. So yeah, from a financial standpoint, you're right. Getting rid of Lamar Miller as a cut would make more sense there. I think Le'Veon Bell, what he does for the confidence of a quarterback who can dump it down, and I'm not worried about Deshaun turning into a dump down guy because he does take his shots down the field at Will Fuller when he's in the game. I'm not worried about that, and he will take his shots at wherever D-Hop is. So I think it's nice to have that as a safety net, but then it's also nice to have a guy that is an elite running back.
Can I give you some numbers here?
Yep.
Kevin Johnson, if you cut him, $9 million in cap savings, no dead money.
$9 million?
$9 million.
Not this year.
Yep. 2019, $9 million.
Kevin Johnson, how does he have that cap number?
He was a first round pick, and they did the fifth year on him, and that's why. So you can cut him, no damage there. Lamar Miller, you would save $6 million with a $1 million dead money hit. if you cut him. And I think those would both be candidates. Joseph, you can cut for, you get 4.3 on him. Is he worth 4.3? Is he worth keeping at 4.3?
Maybe. I mean, maybe you may have to.
Yeah. So,
I mean, it's just a bust.
But if you needed to create more room, you easily could with some of those guys.
Hey, Trent Brown could be in consideration if they can, you know, if they could swing it financially.
I guess the question is, do you think that the play you got out of Lamar Miller this year was helpful to the team? Because I feel like he had a pretty decent season.
He did.
Despite the fact that,
I think it's replacement level production is what he gave you.
But
you could find it.
I just think that you'd be much better served spending that money on the offensive line. And if you upgrade that offensive line, I mean, potentially that improves Lamar Miller. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
it just seems like, I don't want to say frivolous to spend big money on a running back, but it does seem like you're buying rims when you really need like a new transmission. You know what I mean?
Be car poor.
But if you could get his production for basically twice what you're paying Lamar Miller, and you cut Kevin Johnson, so there's where the money comes
from. But Fred, you're assuming that you're going to get Le'Veon Bell behind the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line production.
I'm telling you how they're going to fix both. Okay. How you could do it and still get offensive line help.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. I think the money is there because even before you do anything, they got $64 million in cap space for next year.
Yeah, they got a lot of money.
And not only that, you take Demaryius Thomas off the books for $14 million, which I'm sure they're going to do. You get some of these guys to restructure their contracts too.
You need to find another receiver.
Here's why I think
they're kind of stuck with
they're stuck.
Will Fuller. So.
Here's why I think that Le'Veon Bell is a possibility. I would typically not say that. That doesn't fit the mold of Houston. With Bob McNair out, obviously, passing away and Cal taking over, I don't know what his vision of the future looks like and how aggressively he thinks they need something to create some juice for this organization right now. That would do that. And I'm not a big guy about splashy. I don't care about splashy. I care about building to win. However, in this particular instance, I do think you have to look at how long is J.J. Watt going to be a factor on this team. I don't think it's a long time. Now, he came back and looked great this year.
Two more years.
What's a legitimate? Yeah, a legitimate window is 2 to 3 years. That happens to coincide with what I think Le'Veon Bell you're looking at for a window. So I look at how windows stack up. And if what Fred is, you know, the numbers you've laid out, they do show that you could still be aggressive with Le'Veon Bell and Trent Brown if you wanted Trent Brown. It's not going to be a great, is a great offensive line free agency.
Though. No, but it that would be an upgrade. You could also, there's other moves you could make if you find another offensive lineman. I think you could legitimately add, like you can bring Honey Badger back. What do you make, 8.5 last year, I think?
Yeah,
I mean, he'll probably get a raise, but that's still not that much more of a cap hit. You got to do something with the other one. You got to do something with is Clowney, but that's not much. He's not going to get much more of a cap hit than the $15 million.
Yeah, I think they'll franchise him.
Yeah, and so basically, there'll be some that you're taking care of those guys. But if you really want to go and slash some dead weight here, you can, and you would have room to go and get two offensive linemen, a cornerback, and still go get Le'Veon Bell.
Well, let me ask you this: would you rather spend that Le'Veon Bell money on Jadeveon Clowney?
No.
I think I would.
Not me.
I don't know. If you ask me, you can have a high-level running back or a high-level defensive end.
Let me make this clear. I'm not saying they should go after Le'Veon Bell. I'm just telling you they have room to do all of that. They have room to keep Clowney. It's not Clowney or Bell.
Right. What do you mean by high? Okay. So he is Jadeveon Clowney is a high-level defensive end. I don't use the word elite very often. I think it's completely overused. I don't think he's an elite talent at that position. Aaron Donald, Khalil Mack.
Those guys are elite.
Those are elite. Those are elite players.
J.J. Watt, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was elite.
That's not Jadeveon Clowney. He is a good player.
But he plays a really important position.
He plays a very important position. I'm a little concerned what happens when he gets his money. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a little concerned about... you know, his history doesn't show – he does have some injury in his history. He doesn't have a history of being a grinder when it comes to practice-type stuff, dating back to college and then in preparation leading up to this year from stuff I've heard. So I'm a little concerned about what happens when you give him a bunch of guaranteed money. I'm just going to tell you that
right
now.
Do you not have those same concerns about Le'Veon Bell?
I actually don't.
Based on what we just saw him do.
No, that was a contract. That was a contract issue. That was not a performance issue or a preparation issue. I'm not worried about his preparation or performance. And I don't think that I don't think you could ever make an argument that that Jadeveon Clowney's ever performed at a level anywhere near Le'Veon Bell.
No, I agree with that.
Dude, are you going to live?
Yeah, barely. So all this Jadeveon giving him a bunch of guaranteed money stuff's
choking you up.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want that. But no,
I think it'd be a lot easier to make the decision to move on from him if Whitney Mercilus had even showed up this season.
Yes, and he didn't. And Whitney, and by the way, go ahead and look at the Whitney cap cut.
Whitney,
that's a lock.
Whitney would be 6.2 in savings, 1 million dead money.
Yeah, he's gone.
So I think Whitney and Kevin Johnson are gone for sure.
Okay, so there's $15 million you just added. So let's just say that takes care of Clowney.
How in the world is Kevin Johnson's number there? That's got to be a misprint or something.
I mean, but he's a first-round pick.
It was a first-round pick, and that was
it. Did they make that much? But
especially on the last year?
That fifth year that you pick up the fifth year, that's what they did. And, yeah, $9 million. So,
ugh.
See you, Kevin.
Yeah, been he's nice. Done.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's done. Ooh, he's been such a disappointment. And I'll never forget my buddy who's now with the Colts, they drafted Marcus Peters instead of Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, that's what I said the Texans should have done.
And their whole thing, and I can't remember if Peters was before or after.
He went after Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, they weren't going to draft Kevin Johnson, and their reasoning for it was he was too slight. They say corners that are that small will just they have too many issues with injury, especially if they're physical. And Kevin Johnson's not soft. Like, he's physical. That's
he's
almost
just not
a
built
problem.
To be physical.
Yeah, he's not built to be physical. And sure enough, that's been an issue. And I can tell you this, based on my knowledge of Brian Gain and how they operate, there will not be any more of these slightly built corners. That's not – I already know, guys, I can just completely take off the list for the Texans. It's going to be height, weight, speed. That's what it's going to be.
So if you cut Demaryius, Kevin Johnson, and Whitney Mercilus, that's $29 million you got to play with all of a sudden.
I mean, if you want to be in the Le'Veon Bell and Trent Brown game, you can be there.
Yeah.
But
it is possible.
You still might need to add another couple guys.
Well, they need a corner for sure.
Uh-huh.
So maybe two corners, frankly, unless you think Colvin's going to bounce back next year, which maybe he does. I mean, he was coming back
off that ankle. We'll see.
Yeah. But I think, and I said, J.J. 4.3, maybe you bring him back at that, but I don't want him starting next year. I'd like him to be like a third corner.
Yep, same.
But, you know, and then – if you do get a couple of offensive linemen in free agency, then maybe you do draft a corner in the draft if you get in the right – if there's a better corner than there is an OL there.
Mm-hmm.
So they got options, but
– I will say, looking back at that Kevin Johnson draft, I mean, it's obvious that the Marcus Peters was – I mean, obviously, he was better than – well, I don't think the Texans didn't draft him because of –
well, remember now
his skills. I mean,
remember
obviously,
he was also kicked out of Washington that year.
And Marcus Peters was a top five talent in that draft.
Marcus Peters was a card carrying problem. That same team that drafted him and benefited also had to get rid of him because he was a problem.
But then you see a cornerback in that same first round later in the draft, Byron Jones. He's pretty good at sport. you know, Landon Collins, same. I mean, like if you
safety,
were
safety, but
but I mean, it's just. To see the guys that were Jalen Collins from LSU, I mean, you go down that list and it's like, man, there were a lot of guys that ended up being better than Kevin Johnson. Mm-hmm. A lot, they had a lot of options there that they could have taken and been better off than taking Kevin Johnson.
Mm-hmm. Well, boy, if you really swing the axe here
and go Mercilus, Miller, Kevin Johnson, Demaryius Thomas, you got room to do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of heads rolling, and it's in a way it's exciting because there's going to be some fresh blood, but it's also got to be scary for those guys because this is a team that we've been saying is in win now mode, and you start letting guys walk away, then all of a sudden it's like, well, now you're replacing them with. I mean, if you can't get
how many of those guys are core players? I think none. None of the guys that you mentioned
Lamar
are core
Miller.
Players.
Lamar Miller is.
Whitney Mercilus is a core player.
But
do you think he's
a core
player? He wasn't this year.
Not
but,
now.
I mean, he was in their plans as a – I mean
– he was before the injury, yes. Whitney Mercilus was not a core player last year during the year because he was hurt a year before. And then he wasn't a core player this year. because of the injury. Moving forward, you cannot view him as a core player. That's what I mean.
Agreed.
So you're not getting rid of your core players. I would also argue that Lamar Miller, from my definition of a core player or guys you build around, I don't think Lamar Miller is a core player for a winning organization.
Well, if you're signing Le'Veon Bell, then...
Well, it does. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it's redundant. So,
regardless of if you sign Le'Veon Bell or not, the Texans are going to target a running back at some point. Some way, shape, or form, whether it's free agency, there's no way they're going in with that. There's no juice in their backfield. No juice. Alfred Blue, Deontay Foreman, no juice. Lamar Miller is just a guy. That's all replaceable. He's replaceable level talent, too. There's nothing special. Whatever he did, there's other guys who can do what he did.
Agreed.
On backups on other rosters.
Yeah.
It is a dime a dozen position.
And that's why I don't like paying a guy
but
like Le'Veon
what
Bell.
What I was going to say is I think there are special guys that kind of go beyond the – but you will get arguments from the analytics side that says you don't pay running backs that giant money. It just – You just don't have to. I think there are certain instances where I'm typically in that camp. I think there are certain instances, and this is one of those, where a guy is a win-now type of talent who affects both the running game and the passing game and gives your quarterback more confidence. That's kind of the way I
do it. Does it change anything that, I mean, Le'Veon Bell's 27 years old?
In what way?
Like, you were talking about a five-year deal. I mean...
Well, I think...
But you'd have protection at the back end of that. Yeah. You're looking at 3 years, really.
Okay.
And that I would do. And here's
you have to guarantee, Fred, the Kirk Cousins deal has changed a lot of things. He's going to want a ton of that guaranteed.
And in fact...
It's not my money. I'll spend it.
Right.
I mean, story came out yesterday. Pittsburgh Steelers still considering using the transition tag on Le'Veon Bell, which would give them the right to match any offer sheet that he signs with another team. So...
But they get a trade, and they get... They get compensation in return, right?
Yeah. So considering that,
why wouldn't you do that?
They're planning on trading Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. I mean, it makes sense to use that tag on him, and then all of a sudden,
look, the price of poker for him, you're gonna have a pretty big stack to get into the game with Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
That's just the way it's gonna be. But we spent the whole time telling you there. They're not on short stack, the Texans aren't.
No, they're doing all right.
But Lamar Miller may need a new job.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Where do you think we could send him?
Lamar Miller can...
My computer career?
Is Lamar Please Miller good with computers or math? Is he like a computer nerd? Because if he's not, that doesn't matter.
Is Fortnite, does that count?
I don't know. I mean, I guess that's good enough. Over 10,000 people went to mycomputercareer.edu and took that free career evaluation last month. They started 2019 in a bad job, or they weren't making enough money, and they did something about it. At My Computer Career, they can start their new life as an IT pro in months, not years, even with no experience in IT. Helping people start an IT career is what they do. It's not too late. You can join them. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You'll attend classes on campus or live online twice a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid's available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill for my fellow vets. Classes start up soon, guys. Go take that free career evaluation now. MyComputerCareer.edu. That's MyComputerCareer.edu. It started with the whisper.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.